Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
I want to speak today on the book of Malachi.
Yes.
The last book in the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
I want to start Malachi, third chapter, starting with verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just proceed from there. That's Malachi 3, starting with verse 6.
Yes.
And it says, I, the Lord, do not change, mm-hmm. so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed.
Yes.
Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Mm. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Mm. But you asked, how are we to return? Mm. Verse 8, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you?
That's right.
In tithe and offering, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the...
If I will not throw open
the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it.
Praise Jesus.
Verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I want to speak today on the topic, how do we rob God?
How do we rob God?
Amen?
Amen.
To understand this scripture, we have to understand the background of this particular book in the Bible.
Okay.
God spoke a word through Malachi. He was telling, God was telling the Israelites through Malachi in the first chapter of Malachi, that they were giving God the worst of their offerings and tithes. They gave cattle as an offering back then and would burn it on the altar.
Right.
The cattle that they sacrificed were either injured, lame, or diseased. Okay? They would give to God what they didn't even want themselves and considered that this was all right. God wanted to let them know that their offerings were not acceptable because they were giving God the worst of their cattle, not the best. In other words, they tried to pull a fast one on God, like God would notice.
Right.
I can't judge them because we have done the same thing, okay?
Yes, we have.
It may not be an offering of cattle, but whatever offering we have given God in the past was less than what he had required.
Yes, yes.
We have been told for much of our Christian lives about tithing. So I want to start with that, okay?
Okay.
Now, tithing is about giving your first fruits to the Lord.
To Jesus.
Right? That means a tenth of your income. Now, notice it says giving your first fruits to the Lord, okay? Let's bear in mind that tithing is about giving to God, okay? And that's who you're trying to give your sacrifice to,
that's okay? Right.
Now, let me state a fact. In this society where inflation is rampant, the cost of living is over the top, the cost of food is ridiculous, and don't even get me started on the gas prices, tithing a tenth of your income can be stressful and honestly not possible for some people who are living from paycheck to paycheck, right?
That's true. That's true.
It is not the will of God to make anyone feel guilty for not being able to give the complete 10% every time that they get paid. Okay? We as churches need to recognize this fact and stop laying guilt trips on the people. Amen? Now, I heard a minister once tell his congregation that if you can't give 10%, start with what you can give, right?
Yeah, a couple bucks.
It can be 5%,
yeah,
or even 2%.
Just something.
As God gives you the increase, then you can increase what you give.
That's the truth.
You can't give what you don't have.
That's for sure.
Right?
Amen.
Amen. I agree with this concept. Mm-hmm. I really do. But bear in mind now, because some people use this for their own. You know how people are, right? Bear in mind that God knows just how much you really can give, okay? So to those who are able to give 10% and are not doing it, you may want to rethink that strategy, okay? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Now please bear in mind that your tithe and offering, like I said before, is to God. And this is an individual thing offered to God as a sacrifice. Think, God does not have a bank account, right?
Yes.
And he does not need your money, okay?
Yes.
He really doesn't. Yes. Giving to God is keeping his covenant, mm-hmm. his agreement that he made with his people mm-hmm. back then and now.
Huh.
It is a requirement, pure and simple, to all of God's people then and now. In reference to offerings, yes, we give a dollar too, but you know what? Your best offering you give God is your time and your commitment to him. Period. Okay? God don't have no bank account, right?
No.
But if you give him your time and you give him your commitment in your heart, there's your offering.
Interesting.
Okay? You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be poor to do it. You can be either or. It's not predicated on what your income is.
Hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, chapter 2 of Malachi, mm-hmm. Malachi talks to the priests or the leaders of the church.
Okay.
Okay, I ain't pulling no punches today, so I'm going to just bring it on out. Mm-hmm. He tells them that they will be under a curse for their offerings that they burnt for the people on the altar.
Hmm.
You see, they were guilty of placing these damaged offerings on the altar, even though they knew that the offerings were not good offerings.
Mm.
Y'all hear me?
Right.
Now here's the other thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The leaders also substituted
that,
good offerings that they did receive with bad offerings and kept the good offerings for themselves. Y'all know what I'm saying, okay?
Right.
Now, God was not happy with the church and the priests. Leaders of those churches, okay? Then and now.
Amen. Okay.
See, the church has a responsibility to tithe as well.
Mm.
Nobody talks about that.
Mm.
But if you're getting 10% from your congregation,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing with that
10%? That's the truth.
See, churches, we receive this tithe and offering, so we're held under greater scrutiny than the people that gave it. Okay? The question becomes, what are the churches doing with the tithe and offering?
That's interesting.
Most specifically, are they using 10% of the tithe and offering that they receive to help their members in their own congregation?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. I mean, that's something to think about.
Praise the Lord.
I don't mean to step on no toes, but it ain't me. It's God, so blame him. Okay? Just blame the Lord. Now, let me tell you something else, if I can turn the page, because every now and again, something happens, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, the question to the churches are,
mm-hmm.
are you using 10% of what you receive from your congregation to help your congregation?
Mm-hmm.
We had these churches, some of them, and God bless, I love it. It looks, y'all have some of the prettiest buildings.
Beautiful.
Some of the beautiful sanctuaries. Oh, it's just plush. But the people that come there go home to a one bedroom something or other, or living just barely above the poverty line, but you're still asking them to give to your big building.
My God.
But what are you doing for them? That's the question. A lot of churches use the money to promote themselves and their agendas and tell everyone that they are helping God. They're asking members to donate to stuff like the food bank, but they're not using any of the money of the church to buy stuff themselves. They have these building funds where their members are living in poverty, while their members are living in poverty or living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
See, God doesn't need the churches to help promote him. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Jesus clearly says in John 12:32, mm-hmm. which says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men to me." As a church, we have a responsibility to lift up his name by our actions, by what we do. Not by all of these pretty words or misguided deeds. So today I'm calling out every church to self-examine what we are doing and how we are doing it. We need to stop asking for more money and use the tithe and offering given to us by our members to help our members. It is ridiculous to have members who are struggling while we as a church prosper. Saints, that wasn't the will of God then. That's not the will of God now. And it never will be the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we started today with that scripture, verse 6 and 7 of chapter 3, that said, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob," that's us, "are not destroyed," meaning that he's taking care of us despite the fact that we've been lacking, okay? "Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees," covenants, agreement with God. One of the agreements is giving him tithe and offering. And he said, "You have not kept that." He said, "Return to me," in other words, stop doing what you're supposed to do, "and I will return to you." So he says, but you ask, how are we to return?
Yes.
God made a covenant with his people back then, mm-hmm. and today. And he asked that we keep that covenant or agreement, which includes tithe and offerings to the Lord. By not keeping this covenant, his people then and now are in violation of that covenant. Okay? Mm-hmm. He further states to return to him, meaning that if you keep the covenant, he will return to us.
To us.
Okay? And as a result of keeping that covenant, that's what will happen. This includes us individually. It also includes the church. Okay? He continues in verses 8 and 9. He states, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you?" He said, "In tithe and in offerings. You are under a curse. Your whole nation's under a curse. Because you are robbing me." God makes it known with no uncertainty that we are under a curse for our disobedience. This was then, this is now, it includes us, it includes the church. Think about it. Do you feel like you're under a curse sometime? You feel like things aren't going your way sometime? Feel like sometimes God is allowing things to happen in your life? Well, you're in a curse. You're cursed. It is not the will of God for us not to be obedient to this particular covenant, tithing and offering. Hmm. That's what he told Malachi to tell his people. Hmm. And Malachi is still telling his people today, okay? Hmm. God made it known that we are under this curse and we can do something about it. Verse 10 says, "Bring the whole tithe, mm-hmm. into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Mm-hmm. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much of a blessing that you will not have room enough to store it." Hmm. That's a lot of blessing.
That's a lot of blessing.
So, wow. Simply stated, God will reward our obedience. By making a true sacrifice with our tithe and offering, because that's what it is, a sacrifice, we are telling God that we are willing to keep his covenant. We are telling God that we trust him.
Okay.
And we're also telling God that he is our God and that we love him. Because our actions by keeping his covenant speaks louder than us going around shouting hallelujah. Our actions are actually telling God that we trust him, we believe in what he said, we want to keep his covenant because we love him. Period. Verse 11 goes on to say, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, said the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Let's break that down. In other words, not only will he bless us and open up the floodgates of heaven, but he will also keep us safe from all harm if we keep that covenant. He will also lift us up with them and protect us from hard times. We missed this part of this scripture. I hear the rest of it, but we missed this. This is huge. This is God telling us he will take care of us if we honor that covenant. He also says he will be our God because we chose to keep that covenant. He will find favor. We will find favor among men and nations. Not just us, but also the church. We get his word out better. They can hear from his people, hear from God through the church. If we're obedient with that covenant, we will find favor among men and the nations. Praise the Lord. Hear me? He said that in verse 12, that all the nations will call you blessed. That's saying that we will find favor among men and nations if we keep the covenant. He said, we will be blessed going in and coming out. Folks, this is huge.
Amen. It is.
We don't talk about this. We always quote, you know, how do we rob God? Do time and all. But we don't get into the specifics of it all.
Yes.
Till now. We're getting to it today. But verse 11 and 12 is huge. He's telling us, look, not only will I open up the floodgates, but I'll protect you. Everything you touch will work. Pests won't destroy your crop. In other words, you won't just be losing money, you know, that sort of thing. He said your vine, anything you plant won't die. Anything you touch will prosper. That's what he's saying in here. He used crops and pests on the crop and all that because back then that's what it was about. But we live in a high-tech world now. So you got to bring it up to today. He's saying pretty much today, if you keep this covenant, I got your back. Everything you try to do, you'll be successful at. That's what he told them then. That's what he's telling us now. If we keep this covenant. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my goodness. This includes us, like I said, and it includes the church. Amen. That's a lot to take in. I know it is. I've been told, I've heard this scripture 100 times growing up. You know, before every offering almost. It was quoted, you know, how do we rob God? You know, I've heard it. I can quote it off the top of my head because I've heard it since I was 12, you know? But, saints, it's more to it than just quoting the scripture. It's about actually keeping the scripture.
Amen.
Okay? It's about actually understanding the process of tithing. Whether it's 10%, 2%, 1%.
Something.
Whatever you're giving, give generously from your heart directly. Because you're giving as a sacrifice to God. Not to any church, but to God. And churches, hello. We need to make sure that we're using 10% because we're required to tithe too. And there's no reason why a church can't give 10% of that tithe. Correct? There's no reason. So we need at churches to use that 10% for the people who have given that 10%. Why not? It's not God's will that the church prosper and that members don't. That's what they did back in the Roman time. They had slaves coming to church. I mean, come on. That's not going to fly anymore. That's what he was saying then. That's what he was saying now. So in closing, let us stop robbing God and start being obedient to his covenant by correctly giving our tithes and offerings with our heart. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord our God, in the name of Jesus we come. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the correction. And we all repent, Father, for we've all fallen short in this, whether it be us individually or the church. Father, I pray, Lord, that you lay it upon our hearts to want to give and give the right way. Father, we want to give without thinking about the rest of it, about you taking care of it. We want to give because that's the right thing to do, Lord. Yes. We want to give because that's what you require of us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We want to focus on that, Lord. And the blessings that come with it is just icing on the cake.
Yes.
But first and foremost, Lord, we want to be obedient to your covenant. Help us to be obedient, Lord. Help us to give right. And help the churches, Father, understand their role in all this as well, Lord. Because we're all one, Lord. We're all your people. And we thank you for this word of correction, Lord. Pray, Lord, that this word will be heard by many and that many will change and many will see what you are saying, Lord. Open the eyes to see it, the ears to hear it. And I pray, Lord, that it'll reach many. And it'll cause them to want to come to you and get it right. Father, we thank you for this word. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.